My dad's not here right now. He's still at work. So I'm going to bless him.
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I'm going to see if there's a clean version so that my parents and the people at my school will not get mad at me. We've got the spritzer filled with water just in case if stuff gets too fire. I'm going to set up the speaker and I'm going to listen to
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I think this is the best
Mike Shope
feature that I've heard in a long time. I think his flow is really good in it, and I like his aggressiveness on it. And
the Bulldog
put not enough effort in it. I think overall his flow was good, but I don't like that mumble rapping. That was my review of
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Didn't need the spritzer. Wasn't fire enough. No spritzer for you. No spritzer.
Hello, Football Friday on WGR. Mike Shope and the Bulldog here. I am just back from some international travel.
I went to Canada again.
I went to Canada again. It sounded a little bit sarcastic.
No.
I have not been to Canada in a couple of weeks.
Okay.
So.
I felt like it was more recent than that, but, you know. So, yeah, there was nothing pejorative about that.
I thought you liked Canada, but.
I do. I miss it. I mean, I
they
know.
They don't let you in anymore?
It's just, no, I can go. It's just, I don't have, I haven't had a lot of reason to go. I mean, we don't have a house up there. I've got John Gale, but he comes here to play golf every Saturday.
So many good reasons to go.
Once we get into the winter, maybe I'll have to go see him.
Is today not the perfect day? And that was a great place to spend, you know, my first half of it. Up Niagara on the lake. So good. Come on. Sitting outside right now up there, you got to love it. Not that here is any worse necessarily. It's just, this is a great day.
Yeah, but
we
live here.
Early fall.
Kind of boring.
Yeah. Friday afternoon.
Yep. I'm in a fantastic
sunny
mood, state of mind. You know, I don't know what this is to really say, but I think at times when we're talking about the schedule before it comes, I want 1 o'clock Sunday. You know, give me some normalcy. You know, get in a routine. Really was born out of two seasons ago when the Bills just had all kinds of tumultuous events happening to that, playing home games in Detroit and whatever. Just the schedule is kind of a mess. None of that should ever be construed as like, I don't think it's super cool that the Bills are on Sunday Night Football. Like I just woke up today thinking, I don't want to ever sound like I take that for granted. We didn't have it for so very long here. The Bills were just an afterthought in the league. And, you know, at some point, you know, you get your five or six primetime games a year now, and it can get kind of, you know, well, I think when someone like me makes the point about 1 o'clock Sundays and routine, that can be perceived as complaining about the primetime games. I love that they're playing Baltimore on Sunday night. I think it's fantastic. I mean, all of us 4 years ago would have been dying for one game like this. And they've got two in 3 weeks. And a third in four, really, is what it amounts to after playing on Thursday night in week two or three and five, whatever. Anyway, it's just super cool that the Bills are this team. You know, newsflash.
They have four night games in 5 weeks.
Right.
Miami, Jacksonville, this. Houston, which is maybe arguably the best matchup of the five, is on 1 o'clock at 1 o'clock next Sunday, and then the Jet game on the following Monday night. Yeah, sure. It's the Chiefs' little brother bowl.
Yeah.
Will that not be like a big, not a big, but what's the perspective on this game if you're not Bills fan, Ravens fan, Chiefs fan? So like, all right, well. Which of these teams is the one this year that can more likely topple Kansas City?
Boy, that's a tough way to frame it. The Bills have lost to the Chiefs three times in the playoffs. The Ravens lost to them last year in the playoffs in the AFC Championship game. Yeah, I don't know. I think the way the non-affiliated fan might look at this game is I've got two of the most incredible dynamic players playing the quarterback position, and like I'm totally here for it. Go entertain me, boys.
Yes.
And I mean, that's, I think, irrefutably true. I mean, I don't know, someone out there could hate one or the other of these quarterbacks and just think they're terrible for some unfounded, ridiculous reason. But I would
no
think most
respecting that.
No, I think most fans would be like, all right, You look at, it's kind of like we do, you know, I mean, the Bills are always the focus of our weekend here or our Sunday, depending on when they're playing. And, but then, you know, I'll get around to looking at, you know, who's playing Sunday night, who's playing Monday night. And if it's a game as juicy as Bills Ravens looks, I think to the average objective fan, that's a pretty good score. You know, like I'm fired up for that. I want to see that.
It's definitely cool for them, for Allen. It's especially, like, again, cool. Like, Allen is trying to win an MVP. I'm sure, again, I'm going to be told that he doesn't care. He's trying to win an MVP, and he's playing against a guy who's won two that isn't Patrick Mahomes. So it would be cool for him if he were, like, clearly better in this game. So you have that part of it. It's a bigger game for Baltimore to get to 1-3, to avoid going 1-3. With another conference loss, like you're in tough, even if the Steelers are actually terrible. Like that's big for them to at home. That's big for them to be able to avoid that.
If I'm a fan of the Ravens, I might be thinking. Certainly, Pittsburgh is up there at 3-0. I might be thinking as much about building distance between myself and the Bengals, who are 0-3. If I'm Baltimore, right? Like so, 1-3 sort of keeps Cincinnati in your rearview mirror in a big, big way. Whereas 2-2, depending on what they do, you'll know by the time they play. Baltimore will know what Cincinnati had done earlier, but like there's an opportunity for them to, you know, get a bigger leg up on the other best team in that division. Like I'm not ready to buy Pittsburgh as a real threat. You know, we'll see how it goes. You know, a few more weeks, if they still are sitting at 6-2 or something, then maybe that'll have to change. But for now, if I were Baltimore, I'd be thinking, how much, I'm not going to worry about the Browns. How much distance can I get between me and Cincinnati here? And the Pittsburgh problem will probably right itself as the year unfolds. You know, and I still get to play them twice too, if I'm Baltimore.
Yes. Football Friday brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash? Call Salino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way. Devontae Adams is out Sunday for the Raiders. This came up, or his having a quote hamstring injury came up late in our show yesterday. And I mentioned, I wonder if he's like really hurt. That's kind of mean to not know, but it's easy to sort of wonder.
Well, the coach gave the big speech about guys, you know, making business decisions.
Yeah, that too.
I didn't go back. Maybe you've seen some evidence of connecting that comment from Pierce to stuff that happened in the game. You know, Adams obviously not going all out or something. I didn't read or see any reference to that. But he certainly is a player that could be considered, you know, looking out for his future at this point, trying to find his way to a better situation because the Raiders are not going anywhere. And, I mean, the whole thing is just so screwy. I mean, he went there to be with his college teammate who they then benched because of injury guarantees at the end of that first year he was there. Like, what are we doing? I just came here to do this. Oh my gosh. So I would understand if he's looking for a trap door to get out of there.
Well, sure. Before the Bills season started, I mean, for all the time we spent talking about what they would be at wide receiver, like Devontae Adams could have been this year's DeAndre Hopkins. Somebody that, you know, what are we going to do if the season gets going and the Bills don't have that so-called wide receiver one and want one? Well, you know, maybe it's Hopkins, but you get into the season and Adams has easily seemed like somebody that could end up being moved or wanting to be moved, like you said. But is it now the case that it's just not an issue? Like, should we not even bother thinking about him around here because the Bills are fine? At receiver, I mean, everybody snacks, everybody eats. They're 3-0. They're winning easily. Or does this game mean something for this? If Adams is going to be traded, which this recent 24 hours here, a sudden injury and now out already for Sunday, would have you maybe believe. And the Jets are the favorite in the betting odds to get him. Do I want to just beg off? Or do I want to get involved?
I, Do you want the speech about the contract part of it? Because I feel like this
is not doable.
I got to think his cap number is outrageous. He's got an existing sitting contract, so it's different than, say, trading for Brandon Ayuk and giving him a new deal, and you can massage the cap number initially here to make it work and then figure it out as you go forward. I feel like Adams is coming with some outrageously large number that I just do not think is realistic for the Bills at all at this point. I don't even know, I mean, how realistic it is for anyone, the Jets included. But, you know, maybe there's a way that you can figure that out. So, okay, let's put that over there. For right now, I'm not inclined to get in on it. I'm certainly open to talking about it and discussing the merits of it, but I think once I got to a certain point this offseason, I kind of felt like, I certainly thought the Bills wanted to see it through, and I kind of want to see it through. And see it through can have an expiration date that does not necessarily mean, you know, March or April of 2025. The trade deadline is not until early November. It's pushed back a week this year, so it's after week 9, I believe, is when the trade deadline is going to be. So I've still got time, and if, you know, this presents itself in a way where we're not feeling great about everybody eats and somebody manages to dare the Bills to pass by covering them man on man and they have better players than Jacksonville and they can do it and I'm in trouble, then that becomes a different conversation. But like right now, I'm a no, and it's not even hard for me to say no. For anybody at this point, financial ramifications completely aside.
Are the Jets different for you if they get him?
I mean, you have to respect the idea of the answer to that being yes.
I think so.
I mean, even at his age, even at Rodgers' age, I mean, you know, I said yesterday, I think in passing, like they may have a lot hinging on Mike Williams because they don't have a lot after Garrett Wilson, who's excellent. Williams can be, but like, can you trust it? Can you count on it? Having another dude like that would be pretty intimidating, I would say. So, yeah, I'd have to respect it, but I'm not. I just can't. I know I've talked like this other times. Like, oh, you know, if the Chiefs want Beckham, maybe I got to get in the Beckham business. If the Chiefs want Hopkins, maybe I got to get in the Hopkins business. With the way the year has started, I'm a hard, fast no right now. Even if the Jets can land him. I don't think it's called for right now. But again, that can change. And I feel like we've got still, you know, 5 weeks or so to sort of sort that out if we need to.
The Raiders should definitely trade him. I mean, that's just from the outside. But if they were to lose again, maybe they think they have a season. Maybe you don't get to that final answer until you know you don't have a season. They did beat the Ravens, by the way, which the Bills would do well to do on Sunday night. But 1-2, it's Cleveland now. Like, if they lose to Cleveland after losing to Carolina, both at home, it's not over. But come on, like, what are their chances of making it? It seems like if they could do it, because the cap, I'm trying to figure out some of the cap stuff. Dead cap this year is $25.3 million. Next year, it's way higher, and the year after that, but SpotTrack lists it as a potential out being after this season anyway. Somebody's going to want to do it. Somebody that can afford it, maybe that isn't the Bills.
Well, the dead doesn't matter to the team acquiring them. That's what the Raiders have to deal with, is the dead money. It's like, what are you inheriting? You know, what am I bringing in here, and what is that figure, and can I, you know, can I live with it?
Yeah, the cap hit is 25.
Okay.
The dead cap is 40.
Okay.
So I got that mixed up.
Yeah.
Next, and then it goes down after this year. So that makes sense.
Yeah. So it might be more convenient at some other time for the Raiders to do it. Sure. I mean, they'd have to consider that as well if they were making the trade. But the acquiring team is going to need $25 million. I guess, I don't know. Once the season's going, I'm not sure how all this works. Like, could the Jets tear that contract up and do what I wanted to do with Ayuk, like lower it for this year and then just give him? I don't know.
Isn't that Diggs?
I don't know how that can be adjusted. Once the season's going, though, I don't know how that works, I guess, is what I'm saying. I'm not sure if it's any different at all. I just don't know.
Is the bottom line here, whether or not the money is in the way, That you don't think the Bills need him?
Yes. I mean, that... Could you use a player as talented as Devontae Adams? Yeah, almost any team in the league. I don't want to say, regardless of who they have at receiver, there are certainly teams that are all set. When healthy, I don't think the Eagles really need Devontae Adams, right?
They could use him Sunday.
Yeah, sure, but just for the very short term. But I'm inclined to want to keep going with the great experiment here. Do I need a $30 million, in this case $25 million cap hit receiver on my team, or can this model work? And so far, I mean, we only have really, we've got three games, and they've scored like crazy. The passing game hasn't really been that explosive. I mean, Allen had, in the passing game, had their best game of the year so far against Jacksonville here in the most recent game. I wouldn't want to mess with it right now. I think they have a lot to gain if they can provably demonstrate that they don't need to spend that money on a receiver, that they've got guys here that can make it work.
My guess would be, and I want to say that I don't think like 100% this way, but to choose a side, my guess would be that the Bills would just like stay out of it if it got around that he was available, because you would expect, I think, that they think like you do, or that I do, that we all do, that this is working, right? So, I mean, I think it was not just that Stephon Diggs, to them had a bad attitude or whatever however you want to call that, but that they wanted to have an offense where there was no clear number one guy. This was, I think, more Brady in Carolina. That's why I got there. And I think that's what the Diggs trade and how they built this team this offseason was. It's not, to me, so obvious like that, because some of that is by necessity, out of necessity, like the contracts and, again, Diggs' mood or whatever. You had some other reasons to think that's how they got there. But they did get there, and it's really humming. So if you had a player like this that would demand, isn't this what they're saying every day? Like Allen on Monday night kind of stepped in it. Like, mm-hmm. It's nice to have guys who don't care about stats. What? They're going to trade for Devontae Adams now? And like, what about that? Wasn't this going well? Wasn't this right. What you wanted? And wasn't it working? And all of that leads me to, there's one reason why I don't want to go all in on this take, but all of that leads me to that the Bills would just not be interested in him. The other piece that makes me think they would be is like Bean and Super Bowl window. And, he's been wheeler dealer. Yep. And this would be just an incredible move that maybe it's likely someone else is going to make. Like their division rival.
Yeah.
Very possibly with Aaron Rodgers. So I don't think you do it to keep him away from the Jets, if that's even possible.
The stakes are way too high. Like, the money is just so much. Like, you can't. You just can't. That's a big difference between a Beckham or a Hopkins when you were talking about new contracts and just sort of doing your own thing. Like, get a guy to come in here. Like, I remember thinking about Beckham in terms of, like, he's got to rehabilitate his career. So he'll take what he can get him in here. It turned out he got a lot more money than I thought he would from Baltimore last year in the end. But that was the motivation. It was sort of like, buy low and let this guy reestablish that he's worth all this money after he helps you win a Super Bowl, and then let him go fly and be free and go get, $30 million somewhere else. Adams is made. I mean, he's got that already. That commitment is massive. And after getting out of the Diggs thing, I do think a part of the motivation, aside from, I think they got to wanting to swallow hard on the dead money because of Diggs' attitude and him wanting to get out of here, but they ripped that off and are living with it. I can't see them at this juncture. They're going to need to see that this won't work before they jump back in that boat, I think, where they're going to go shout. I've thought all along, we'll see what 2025 brings, how this year goes, and the first thing on the shopping list for Brandon Bean next offseason, if this proves to not, to be a faulty model, is going to be, okay, I need a guy. But so far, they don't look like they need a guy, but we're so early in here. That's why I want to reserve the right to change this take between now and the trade deadline. And not that it's going to change the financial ramifications of it, but they could be in the market for some, maybe Hopkins. He must have a much lesser contract than Adams does, I would think, at this stage. And maybe he's someone you can go shopping for if you feel like you need to supplement what you're doing. But I do not see a kingpin number one contract coming in here at this point.
Just quickly on this, by the way, if the Bills suffer an injury at receiver, is there an injury that would change that? You know, the idea, one of the benefits, one of the things you'd like about how they have it set up is that they can afford an injury, maybe. But Shakir's been good. Hollins is important. You know, Coleman, Samuel. Is there some, even if Kincaid goes down, does that change really anything with their offense? I mean, Knox is playing already kind of over him in terms of routes even already. So is there an injury that would mean enough to affect that? I'm not sure there is.
I don't think so, because you don't have Diggs. Like, if you still had your passing game built around Diggs and he got hurt, then that's where you go looking for that guy. But if the idea is it's mostly, no offense to the dudes, your name here, well, then you just go get another your name here, right? I mean, you go find a guy, and that's what you do, I think, probably. So, no, I don't think there really is. Kincaid might be the trickiest among that group, because I think he's, you know, the position is different, and he's different than the other receivers are all sort of under the same umbrella, I think. And Kincaid is maybe, because he's a tight end and he's a different skill set than Knox, he's a little different. But we're not talking about a tight end with a fake hamstring injury that may want to be traded.
Fake. It's possible. I don't know. It's tough on him because it's easy to sort of get to that conclusion on Adams. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here, Football Friday. Sam Paniatovich, BetQL Daily coming up. Jeremy Kahn out of Baltimore. Sal Capaccio as well. It is time for a break. We'll be back in a snap, brought to you by Snapdragon Apples, the official apple of the Buffalo Bills.
They bring a unique challenge previous to Derrick Henry even arriving, and now I thought they made a heck of a strategic move of going to get Derrick Henry. And I mean, that combination along with what they already had in Andrews and the tight end likely, and now with their wide receivers as well, Flowers in particular, I think they're the number one ranked offense in the NFL yards wise. So they're really good, and we'll have a challenge in front of us on Sunday night.
Sean McDermott on the Ravens, Week 4, Sunday Night Football. We'll talk to Jeremy Kahn out of Baltimore in about half an hour. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here, Football Friday. Thanks for being along. On the line now, the host of BetQL Daily, Odyssey Sports BetQL Insider, Sam Paniatovich. BetQL Insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Go check out all of the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. I'm on a roll, Bulldog, by the way, on that aforementioned BetMGM app.
Oh, good for you.
The under last night was kind of an easy one. Also, be sure to listen to, Sam heard me say that. I hope Sam didn't have the over. I'm not a tout. Be sure to listen to the BetQL Daily podcast for more analysis. Just search BetQL Daily wherever you find your podcast. Sam, I really now hope you had a good night.
I had Cowboys just to win. I actually wheeled Cowboys money line and Bears money line. So halfway home, even though Mike McCarthy did what Mike McCarthy does and kicks a million-yard field goal for no reason instead of punting it, we got there. We won the game. Now I need the Bears. But I think you buried the lead. I was going to come into your show and just start chanting, MVP.
MVP. Well, listen, you can throw all the stones you want at the field goal try. I did not have them on the money line. I had them minus the 5.5, so thank you very much.
You needed that kick.
I needed a timeout and cooler heads and nail the kick. Jerks.
How do you kick that, though? I mean, there's 45 seconds to go. They have no timeouts. I don't understand the risk management there. Obviously, there's something to be said about a coach going for the win and trusting in his guy who barely never misses, or barely ever misses, I should say. But what if it gets blocked? What if he, misses one, and then you give the Giants the ball at the 40-yard line? I thought it was dumb, but then again, I had the Cowboys money line, so of course I
did. Right.
I think they love their kicker.
Yeah, the guy, yeah.
I think both of those teams last night loved their kicker.
Yeah.
The Giants couldn't be bothered to go for fourth down ever. They're just going to try to beat Dallas, who they never beat, with field goals. And guess what happened? Narrator.
Well, they did lose a game earlier this year. Two only field goals, the Giants.
Maybe Washington
beat them only with field goals.
They
right?
saw it happen to them, and they realized, you know what? We could do it. We could actually win the same way.
Listen, I know how things are going in Chicago with Caleb Williams, and it's rocky to start. But can you imagine an existence where Daniel Jones is your quarterback and getting paid $40 million a year? Like, he just can't do it, man.
Well, let's raise that nugget and talk about the quarterback that you guys just pounded on Monday night. Imagine paying Trevor Lawrence 5 years and $275 million.
How many games do you think they win, Jacksonville?
Ooh, it's a good question.
Six?
I bet them plus +7 this week, which I hate, but I had to do it because the injury report is very bad. I mean, I don't know if you guys saw, Tank Dell and Nico Collins are both hurt, which would change Houston's offense, that's for sure. Updated win total right now on Jacksonville is .. 6.5,
six
which feels
half.
A little high, doesn't it?
Mm. You know, maybe, but Tennessee twice, I don't know. Like, yeah. I don't think it's a – nothing's a guarantee. I think I might go over. I think it might, like, take them to sort of get better, not be great, but – I don't know. At the same time, Monday night was as one-sided as a game gets in the NFL. Could not do anything defensively. Could not complete passes. You know what's the worst, Sam? Like, so we had these Bills teams that forever just could not get there, the 17-year drought. And some of those times, it was, you know, you don't have the talent. You don't have Tom Brady. Okay. But you've got to try. And the Jaguars get down in that game so bad early, and they're still throwing the ball sideways and handing the ball off. The end of the half, the last play of the half, he throws the ball out of bounds on purpose to not end up getting, you know, what, a pick six or a fumble or something. I mean, that is a low point. So maybe I'm wrong to think optimistically at all about them.
Well, I think you have the right mindset, though, because if we've learned anything in the NFL, you can never just look at the last game and think that that's absolute. And the first two games, granted, they lost both. They fought the Dolphins to the wire, lost by 3. They fought the Browns to the end, lost by 5. I think the truth is probably closer to the first two results than it is the last result. But you guys got a damn good football team there. And, you know, I talked to these guys in Vegas all week, as you know. And, you know, the conversation, I think, unfairly puts Kansas City on the one line no matter what. I don't think they're the best team in football right now. I had one bookmaker in Vegas. Not to get you guys all excited, but he's got Buffalo as the highest power-rated team in the NFL right now. Now, that's not offense, defense, special teams individually. That's the whole thing. That's the whole kit and caboodle. The thing for me, and I'm not a Buffalo guy like you guys have lived forever, I need to see it in the playoffs, and I think that's a fair counter.
Yeah, and we obviously don't get to do anything about that for a few months yet. Sam, we're only just getting to know you. It's our second time with you. I didn't mean to run away from your victory lap about Allen and the MVP odds, because that's where we started, and I was right here to complain about the field goal. But yeah, I mean, we could see it coming, and Allen had that night, and there he is right atop the MVP, you know, the odds. So, you know, really awesome to see for him. And, you know, if they can keep it going, another big night tonight, or Sunday night, excuse me, in Baltimore.
Absolutely. And look, it's a bet that I thought should be made. And it's not to say it's going to win, but 7 days ago I'm on your show and I'm saying, look, this is a guy who's 6-7-1. And I'm looking at BetMGM right now. He is 2-1 to win the MVP.
Yeah.
So now what do you do? I'd like, in no way, shape, or form is that a win. It's a hell of a bet in 1 week to go from 6-7-1
sure.
to 2-1. I think the move right now, if you're a little nervous about the game against Baltimore, you can bet Lamar Jackson right now at 30-1. And that's a guy, if he goes off in that game, and Baltimore has certainly taken some sharp money from 1.5 to 2.5 right now. You know, people will take 3 on Buffalo. I think that's a great teaser leg, by the way, guys. If you can take Buffalo from 2.5 to 8.5, I don't think they're going to get blown out. I could be wrong. But now, if you made that Allen bet last Friday, you can bet somebody else. You could bet, I don't think it's Burrow, but you could bet Hurts at 20-1, or you could bet Rodgers at 20-1, Jackson at 30-1. You basically build a portfolio where you bet a couple guys at good prices. I wouldn't be betting Josh Allen at 2-1, but if you did bet it last Friday at 6-7-1, Now you could put somebody else in there. Maybe it's Kyler Murray at 40-1 or Brock Purdy at 30-1. You can do what you want off the Allen bet because you got a damn good number if you did it.
Could you get to either Sam Darnold or Geno Smith here, Sam?
Oh, man. You know, Darnold before the year is in the hundreds. He's 125-1. Now he's 30-1. He's so receptive to the coaching, though. And I think he learned a lot. He went to the Jets, and he was kind of a Jag. No pun intended. He was not a Jag. He was a Jet. But he had that, like, arrogance about him, that extreme cockiness. And I think he was humbled early in his career. He was so bad, they go, all right, we're going to send you to Carolina. You know, and then he ends up in San Francisco and works under Shanahan and was clearly receptive there. And now he's under Kevin O'Connell. He's taking to the coaching. And if you think about Minnesota, like I would have never gone here if you didn't ask this question, but you get Jordan Addison back this week, which is big for them. He's a former Biletnikoff winner in college. So you got Jefferson, you got Addison, and guess who's right around the corner?
Hockenson.
Right. Yeah. So I think by name, I'm not excited to bet Sam Darnold, but in terms of potential, if the Minnesota Vikings go 13-4 and he stays healthy and puts up these numbers, why can't he win the MVP?
Isn't Seattle the same thing almost? Like, Smith has shown better. Like, he's already kind of reestablished as a player, or established for the first time because he wasn't that good in the first place. So it looks like they want to throw it. They're two games up in the NFC West. I mean, they've played pretty weak teams so far. So I'm not – again, these are long-shot bets – but I think he's about the same for me as Darnold is in this.
You got a much better price on Geno. Let's see. BetMGM is giving you 30-1 on Darnold and 65-1 on Geno Smith. Hmm. So double your trouble on the price there. I don't know. I did. Somebody texted me after Monday night. Hey, what do you think about Jaden Daniels MVP? I'm like, God, stop gambling. If you watched Monday Night Football and thought Jaden Daniels was an MVP candidate, look, it was a nice win. The kid is going to have ups and he's going to have downs. I like, to your two quarterbacks you asked about, I like Darnold. I think it's a lot more realistic, obviously, okay, given the price, than Geno Smith. But you're never in the wrong for betting bad numbers or buying the dip on a guy like Geno Smith. It's certainly not the worst idea.
I just want to sit for a moment with the notion that we're talking about two former quarterbacks that were drafted by the New York Jets as MVPs.
Look,
on their third or fourth teams.
They were never going to win as Jets.
I just love it so much.
They were never going to win as Jets.
That is a tasty stew we got on the stove.
I'm
right
not
now.
Asking about, I don't know, Mike White, but Sam Paniatovich, our guest. Favorite bet this Sunday, Sam?
So Sunday, I really like the Bears, and I think we have a Rams team that emptied the kitchen sink. I don't know how they rallied back to win, but you give them credit. You look at it, though, you know, glass half empty. They beat a Niners team without McCaffrey, Debo, Kittle, and Hargrave tore his tricep on the D-line. So how great was that win? I don't know that it was that solid. I look at these advanced metrics all the time, EPA per play, which is expected points added per play. The Rams right now in total defense are 31 out of 32. That's really bad, guys. Conversely, the Bears are number two. So I get that Bears defense at home. Caleb's more confident. He actually played pretty good against Indianapolis. And I think the only argument, there are two arguments. Oh, McVay. Okay, all right. McVay can't save this sorry-ass team. And number two is Stafford. Okay, well, Stafford has no line, and Kupp is out, and Nacua is out. I understand people don't want to lay points with the Bears, but this is maybe the best spot of their season to date, and this is the first time I'm actually putting my money on the Bears. So Chicago -3, I think, is a good look. It won't be popular, but I think it's a winner.
And how about tomorrow?
Right.
Yeah, I'm nervous. I'm nervous for this team in the Big Ten. They're undefeated. They're 4-0. How are they catching 17.5 points? Well, because Penn State's going to kill them. Penn State is running the ball down people's throats, like 250 yards per game, and they got a quarterback now. And Illinois does not have the offense, to fall back and catch up. If they go down 14-0 in a night game in Happy Valley, they're going to get destroyed. And people will wonder, well, how are they getting 17.5? It's a lot of points until you're down 21-3, and then all of a sudden you need more points, if you know what I mean.
Yes. Last thing I've got, Sam. So I have a futures bet on the line this weekend, and I'm wondering if it's crazy to be optimistic here and think that the Pirates can win two of three against the, you know, hopefully drunk Yankees after they clinch.
What's the bet? What's your position?
I mean, I think I need 76 wins if that's the number, and they're at 74. I might be off by one, but I need two out of three.
You think you need two? You need two or three?
I need two.
Big difference.
I need two.
Okay.
I need to win two out of these three games. It's baseball.
Man.
It's baseball. That's why I'm on the Pirates. It's baseball. Who knows? They're going to finish last.
There's nothing wrong when you're going against Carlos Rodon. He's due to screw something up. I mean, okay. He's just a guy I don't trust. I think you get there. I think you get two out of three.
Let's go. Judge is out of the lineup. You know, they clinched. I needed that last night, I think.
Yep.
So maybe I get a little bit of a hangover there. And Jared Jones. Okay. How did that team finish last in that division with Skeens? They don't try. That's the answer, isn't it? Like
right.
What they did with Telez,
right.
Is that the answer? They're not here for
winning
wins.
Right.
That's how
I
it
think
looks.
Though going into next season, guys, we'll be having this conversation around the Super Bowl when the win totals come up. If I could get like a 78.5, 79.5 or 80.5 for next season, it's full blast on the over there. They're gonna win 85 next year.
Let's go. All right. Well, hopefully they win two more this year. Thank you, Sam. Enjoy week four, and we'll talk next Friday.
Awesome, guys. Good luck, everybody. Thanks.
Thank you. The host of BetQL Daily with Joe Ostrowski, Odyssey Sports BetQL Insider Sam Paniadovich. BetQL Insider calls presented by BetMGM. Go check out all of the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. We'll catch up on the Bills' week four opponent, the Ravens, coming up just after four with Jeremy Kahn. 803-0550, our number if you want to get in next. The Sabres are playing Red Bull Munich. They're leading 2-0. This game is on the bet, 15-20, if you want to listen to Sabres hockey this afternoon. The regular season opener in Prague, Sabres Devils, is a week from this afternoon. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. Football Friday continues next. This is WGR. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. Football Friday. The Sabres are playing an exhibition game in Germany as we speak. 2-0 lead about halfway through the game. Lindy Ruff wearing a fedora behind the Sabres bench, which I'm a fan.
I'm curious, like, why it's special that they're wearing these hats in Germany, but you know, fine. It looks
what's
good.
The significance?
Yeah, right. Like, you know, the Winter Classic. You know, I get it. You know, the varsity jackets. And I'm not sure I get the hats.
Is it not just Lindy?
No, the two assistants that are on the bench. I'm not sure who everyone is.
They're
I think Seth
Appert said
they're all wearing the hats. Yeah.
Interesting. I don't know, but I like it.
Yep.
I'd like to see more variety in coaching attire.
Very stylish.
In all sports. Baseball, there's only so much you can do. They make you wear the uniform, which is, you know, silly. But I'd like to see more hatted coaches. There it is. Not even like the ball cap, right? Like Sean McDermott's always wearing
right.
the sort of
right.
like, just
yeah.
a different style every week, maybe. But, you know, a baseball hat. But I like this look.
I am not a fan of most of the hats that seem to be on the sidelines this year. The rope, the look with the rope, the
yeah,
rope
no.
hat. I mean, I know the kids, it's all the rage and golf. And I
we're not the demo.
I do not like how, right. I don't like how those look. And the plaid ones. What the hell are we doing here?
My wife wore our daughter's Bills hat to the game Monday night. And I didn't know it was a Bills hat.
Right.
Like there's like a brownish logo in the middle that I guess had a Bills logo on it. I couldn't even have told you that. Tom is next. Hello, Tom.
Hey guys. Hey, a quick aside before I get to my point. If Lindy's wearing the fedora in Germany, does he have the little green like feather, Oktoberfest feather on the side? Because if he does, that's a big power move.
I did not see that, but I do like that.
So I had a point about you guys were talking about Davante Adams and, you know, can you see the Bills trading for him? And I think there's like a path to where the Bills might want to, you know, make a move towards that. So, you know, the narrative in the offseason, which I kind of don't agree with, was that, oh, the Bills don't want a number one outside receiver. You know, like any football team doesn't want the best players at every position that they want. I do think that the Bills may have, after Stephon Diggs came and said, and he, you know, like any normal person, you know, made a business decision based on his career and said, you know, I'm not going to get the numbers I'm going to get here. Can I get moved somewhere else? I don't think it was like, oh, I hate Josh Allen or anything like that, you know, stupid like that. I just think that he just thought that, you know, I got to go somewhere where I can maximize my production for my next contract. You know, the Bills said, okay, we'll rip the Band-Aid off here. We're already doing all the salary cap stuff now. Let's just do it all at once. And they said, they kind of looked around and said, maybe we don't want to pay a gigantic amount to an outside receiver when all these teams are trying to take it away from us. You know, maybe they're looking at, like, Detroit paid Amon-Ra St. Brown. He's a slot receiver. Maybe they're looking at, like, man, we might have to pay Khalil Shakir, maybe not $28 million or whatever Brown got, but, you know, we might have to pay him a bunch of money if we think he's going to be as good as we think he is and, you know, all that stuff. But I do think that there's a scenario where Brandon Bean sits there and says, holy crap, our offense is, like, way better than we thought it was going to be. And they go and they talk to, you know, Davante Adams. Again, I'm not a capologist or anything like that. They would have to do something similar to what they did in Diggs and Houston and put 4 years and then make it a one-year deal or something.
You could see them wanting to do it.
Yeah, and yet, okay. They said to him, like, basically, you know, hey, dude, look, we're going to throw it to the open receiver. And he might say, well, I'm always open, and that dude's awesome throwing the ball, so I'm in.
Yeah, I would think, you know, I don't know. Who does? But Adams could be in. And I'm not worried. I'm not going to make it about the cap either. I just think the Bills are likelier to like what they have, especially considering how it's gone. Because somebody gets bumped. And, you know, teams, right now the Bills' vibes are so on point. Everybody's happy. Everybody eats, you know. And then even if Adams is super good, which of course he has been, he enters the room and maybe that makes it weird, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm all for better guys, but right now I don't have the problem where I think I would want to disrupt. This is just what I'm predicting for the Bills, and I don't know if I'm right, but where I would not expect them to want to disrupt what they've got.
I 100% wouldn't expect them to want to disrupt it at this point, and I fully support that. Like, I'm not just talking about what I think they'll do. I support what they're doing right now. I feel like I'd be an idiot not to. It's working, but I think you want to reserve the right. You don't have to make this decision permanently here. You've got weeks at your disposal here. So whether it's Adams or someone else, if they feel like as this goes on and they get, you know, five more games worth of data here that they need to do something, then I feel they need to do something and they don't, I'll change my tune on it. But for right now, I like where they're at. I think they should like where they're at.
He'll be a Jet by then. You don't have to worry about it.
Right.
Getting connected with the fans brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Next, Jeremy Kahn on the Ravens. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.